Good evening. Can everyone hear me all right? Okay. As the meeting goes on, if anyone needs any translation, John Smith will be in the back of the room. He's fluent in Southern. I already know many of y'all. Some of you I don't know. And some of you I just know a little bit. Some very well. I'm very, very glad that I could be here this year and be with you. And it's just been pleasant for me. And just this evening, I was sitting in the back of the room and thinking how close we are as a people, even though we're from different nations and different places. Even to look around the room and see people from different heritage and different nationality, Chinese and Caucasian and black, and even got somebody here from Alabama. I mean, we got all sorts of things here, and it's really a blessing and a testimony that the Lord's people come together and love each other, one body, right, one spirit, all seeking the Lord together. It's really a pleasant thing to my soul. How many people got this thing in the mail some weeks or months ago, this little deal that says, "Follow me"? When I got this thing, and as I thought about it, I thought, this is very, this little picture, the more I thought about it, the more thoughts I had about this time together. And I really like just simple picture of this to me. It's looks like a father. It's a father and his child. I don't know if it's a boy or a girl, but in my movie, I guess it's a boy. And it's a father and his child holding hands, walking along together. And there's several things that came to to my mind in the light of our scripture. If anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And some of the things that come to mind as you look at this picture of a father leading his child is that this child is safe. You know, you don't have any sense in this picture that this child is uncomfortable or feels threatened or feels in danger. There's no worry about whether or not his father's taking him to a bad place. In other words, he's comfortable with his father, and his father's actually touching him, leading him by the hand. And you have a sense of protection, sense of comfort, sense of peace. Really seems to be a pleasant thing. It's a close relationship, holding hands. Pretty close relationship. It's trusting. There's safety involved. And also, you notice that this child is not being dragged along. He's willingly going along because he trusts his father and he knows that his father loves him. Now, Jim covered this morning some of the very same things that were on my heart, so I won't have to go into them very much. I'll just touch on them. But primarily, the first thing I wanted to just lay down as a foundation is that this matter of following the Lord, I believe that the initial thing, as our brother shared this morning, is having that realization, really having the knowledge that you're loved, that you personally are chosen and loved by the Lord. You aren't saved as part of a group. The Lord didn't save millions and millions of people and you just happen to be one of them. He saved you personally. He knows how many hairs are on your head. He knows all about you personally. He knows your name, knows your thoughts. He died for you personally, loves you personally. I think we all know that in theory, but I tell you, it's a life-changing deal when you really begin to understand that the Lord loves you personally, cares about you personally. And it changes this matter of following Him from something that we have to do to something that we get to do. We're going to talk a little bit about what is self-denial. And what exactly is taking up the cross? Those were our questions this morning in the group that I was in. So we'll be thinking about those throughout tonight, and we'll go into them a little more specifically next time. We'll be thinking about what is self-denial and what is taking up the cross. We're going to deal with those things a little bit later. Still, just as a foundational issue, I also thought that this matter of following the Lord begins with the knowledge that you have the Holy Spirit. You have to know that you have the Holy Spirit so that you can hear His voice. And I just want to say a little bit about that. Knowing that you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you is more important than you think it is. Because when you believe in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, You received the Holy Spirit. He came into your spirit and took up residence and started living inside of you. In fact, that's what makes you a Christian. Nobody's a Christian because they believe the right doctrine. You're a Christian because the Holy Spirit is living inside of your spirit. That's what makes you a Christian. And if the Holy Spirit's not living inside of you, then you're not a Christian. But I think we're a room full of Christians, a room full of people who have the Holy Spirit. But, you know, just like in the Bible, there were people in the Bible that as far as I can tell, had some relation with the Holy Spirit, had the Holy Spirit. They'd heard the Gospel of John, but they didn't know there was a Holy Spirit. I think that probably some of us in this room are in the same way. We know in theory, we've heard about it. We don't really know in a practical way that we have the Holy Spirit. It's really necessary that we know that we have the Holy Spirit. Because without that, it's impossible to follow the Lord. We'll get into that in a little bit more in a minute. I'd like you to turn to Deuteronomy. Most of the scriptures that I have tonight are all Old Testament scriptures. Just the ones that the Lord put on my heart. It's Deuteronomy chapter 30. We're going to read verse 15 through 20. I'd like everybody, if you have a Bible, to look at that. And I'll just read from the New American Standard, because I'd like to use the one that Moses used. So, Deuteronomy chapter 30, starting with verse 15. "See, I have set before you today life and prosperity and death and adversity, in that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in His ways, to keep His commandments and His statutes and His judgments, that you may live and multiply, and that the Lord your God may bless you in the land where you are entering to possess it. But if your heart turns away and you will not obey, but are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land where you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess it. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. So choose life in order that you may live, you and your descendants." Pay attention to this, verse 20. "By loving the Lord your God, by obeying His voice, by holding fast to Him, for this is your life in the length of your days, that you may live in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them." And again, that first part of verse 20, "by loving the Lord your God, by obeying His voice, and by holding fast to Him." You know, it's interesting that this was laid on the Lord's people, and I think that all the Lord's people found out along the way, as everyone has found out along the way, is that you can't keep all of the Lord's law and requirements. All of the things, all the statutes, all of the things that they had to keep, no one could keep them. Everyone failed. No one can do it all. And I think one of the things that we have to find out, and that many of us have already found out, is that we're weak and limited. And that apart from Him, we really can't do anything. But the bottom part, loving the Lord your God, obeying His voice, and holding fast to Him, you can do that. Because those things are a matter of heart. And the Holy Spirit has enabled us to do those things. We can actually bless the Lord. Now, there were faithful men and women in Old Testament days who all had failure in their life. And almost every single one of them in the Bible, some failures recorded for our benefit. And yet they were pleasing to the Lord. Even though they failed in some way, they were pleasing. The end of their life, the story and the legacy that they left was that they're pleasing to the Lord. And they bore fruit for the Lord because they had a heart for the Lord. So this biggest issue in following the Lord, lest anyone be discouraged and think it's too hard, too complicated, it's not. Its biggest issue in following the Lord, it's a matter of heart. If you give your heart to the Lord, you'll be able to follow Him. You will follow Him. That's why the very first thing here is this matter of loving the Lord. I'm going to talk about that probably quite a bit tonight, because it's on my heart, this matter of loving the Lord. There's no following without loving. There simply is no really coming alongside of the Lord without loving Him. And that's something that we can do. It's not You know, sometimes we think, well, it's something that we ought to do. But, you know, mostly it's something that we can do. And if we feel like we're limited in that ability to love the Lord and we don't have love for Him, well, I'd like to make two suggestions I think you'll really find helpful. And one thing is to simply say, start with when you wake up in the morning. I like to wake up in the morning and say, Lord, I love you. I love you, Lord. Thank you for a new day. Lord, thank you for loving me. I love you. I like to tell the Lord out loud that I love Him. I think if you do that, if you'll start saying out loud, Lord, I love you, you'll find out that something will change inside of you. You'll find out that it's pleasing to the Lord and to you. It will actually do something in you. And the other thing is probably more obvious than that, and that's to simply ask the Lord, Lord, increase my love for you. To ask the Lord, Lord, give me a heart that loves you. Lord, I do love you. I want to love you more. Give me more love for you. We can do that. And it's a key. It's a key to everything. We have to know that we have the Holy Spirit so that we can hear His voice. We need to love the Lord for His sake and for our sake. I want to return to this little photo again that was on this picture and say a couple of things about it. In order to follow someone, well, you pretty much have to be able to see them. In other words, if you were going to follow someone without literally holding their hand, but you were just going to follow someone, you'd have to be able to see them. You'd have to be able to see where they're going if you were going to follow them. And it would really help if you understood the way that they thought. If you understand the way somebody thinks, you can sort of know what their next move is going to be. It's a lot easier to follow somebody when you know their thoughts. And if you know a person deeply and you understand them and you know their ways, well, then the door is really open for you to follow them. To follow somebody, you've got to keep them in sight, right? You have to be close enough to them to see them and know where they are, be able to locate them. And it really helps if you know where they're going. When I think about all these things with regards to following, following is really similar, in my mind, to abiding. Being close enough to know where the person's going, to know where they are, to begin to understand what they're doing. Look over at this familiar Psalm 91. Everybody knows this by heart. Psalm 91, just verse 1. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. Some translations say, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. Actually, I like that, the secret place. I want to talk about that in a minute. Also, Isaiah 45:3. I will give you the treasure of darkness and the hidden wealth of secret places, in order that you may know that it is I, the Lord, the God of Israel, that calls you by your name. I'll give you the treasure of darkness and the hidden wealth of secret places. So there's something about intimate relationship. That's what it means by secret place. It's speaking of a secret relationship, a private, personal, kind of a hidden relationship between you and the Lord. And that kind of relationship leads to treasure. By the way, the Psalm 91 that we read was the Psalm of Moses. You all know that Israel only saw the things that the Lord did, but Moses knew His ways. Moses knew what it was to abide, to dwell, to live with the Lord, to have personal relationship with Him. And really, that's what all of us are called to, is to have personal relationship with the Lord. That's really what's on my heart, by the way. If we were going to have, if this was a church place that put a sign out, you know, on the front lawn of what the message was going to be on Sunday morning, the message for me would say personal relationship. Because that's really what's on our heart for tonight. This matter of following the Lord has everything to do with personal relationship. And by the way, this is what the Lord saved you for. I hope everybody here understands that the Lord didn't save you so you wouldn't go to hell. Not going to hell is the benefit of salvation. It's not the purpose. the purpose of salvation is because the Lord wanted to have personal, two-way fellowship and relationship with you. That's why He saved you, because He loves you and He wanted to actually have fellowship, communion, relationship with you personally. How about that? That's the reason for salvation. That's the reason you've been saved. So this whole matter of personal relationship, everything hinges on it. And you know what? There's no escape from this question. Do you have personal relationship? Abiding, dwelling, personal, secret relationship with the Lord Jesus. There's no substitute for it. And of course, it's a question that you have to answer personally, and nobody else can answer it but you. And when I think about this matter of personal relationship with the Lord, and we know the Lord's preparing a bride for Himself, whenever I think about this matter of our personal relationship with the Lord, our secret, hidden relationship with the Lord, I think about my own relationship with my wife. Now, I have friends in this room, and I have close friends. And everybody that's a friend of mine, if you're a friend of mine, you're entitled to know something about me. And the closer you are to me, the more entitled you are to know more about me. In other words, the more trusting our relationship is, and the more that's been built between us, the more I let you in, the more you let me in. But of course, my most intimate secrets, there's a certain place in my life, certain things that are off limits to even my closest friends. There's certain issues in my life that are only available and open to my closest human relationship, my own bride, my own wife. Now, with her, she knows everything about me, everything. And she ought to. She has a right to know everything because the Lord's made us one. It's that close of a relationship. When we live together, Randy and I, and this may sound a little bit silly, but you understand, it's making a point. Randy and I don't just share a house together. You know, it's not a relationship of convenience. And I certainly didn't marry her so she would cook. I do all the cooking. And the shopping. I like to. And she does other things. I married her because I loved her. I knew she was the Lord's choice for me. And I wanted to share my life with her. I wanted to share all my joy with her. When you share your joy with someone, with someone else, it's better. And when you share your sorrow with someone else, it's more pleasant, it's more palatable. By the way, we were made, you were made, and I was made in God's image. And part of that image that the Lord made you in was the need to receive and express love. The Lord made you a vessel that has a need to express affection and love. And also, He made you a vessel that needs to receive affection and receive love. And the reason that the Lord created us this way is because in some way, beyond our understanding, this is the way He is. The Lord, not in a weakness, but there's something, to put it in human terms, in the Lord's personality that needs to receive love, that desires to receive affection. That's why He made us in His image this way, so that He could receive love and affection and share His life with us. Not His divinity. That's only His. But He wants to share His life with us. And when we begin to understand this and see this and walk in it, it changes everything. It changes our understanding of the Scripture. Changes our daily practical relationship with Him. And it certainly changes everything about this matter of following Him. When we understand that He loves us, that He desires to actually have personal, deep fellowship with you, to reveal secrets to you. You know, the Lord Jesus says that those who love Him and keep His commandments will be loved by His Father, and they will make abode with Him. They'll abide with Him. They'll dwell with Him. The more that we love the Lord, the more He has desire to actually reveal secret things to us. And to put it in human terms, He has a need to do that. He has a need to reveal Himself to His people and to reveal Himself to individuals. But He only does it past a certain point to those who love Him. You know, it's a wonderful thing in this life to have people that you can share things with, that you can share personal things with, share needs with, share burdens with, share joys with. You'd be a fool if you walked up to somebody in the airport and started sharing all your intimate secrets with them. Oh, hi, I don't know you, but I just have a few things I'd like to tell you about myself. That would not be wise. I'd like you to have my Social Security number for a start. It's not a good idea. But to those who love you and those to whom you love and that the Lord gives an intimate relationship, they have more right, and the Lord himself desires to share intimate secrets with those who love him. The treasure of hidden places. That's what he's speaking of in Isaiah. It's actually a practical relationship that we're all invited to have and can have and ought to have. Thought of something this morning when Jim was sharing. Jim talked about the difficulty of expressing affection, or the difficulty of affectionate relationship. And I couldn't help but think of Fiddler on the Roof. Is everybody familiar with that movie, Fiddler on the Roof, one of my wife's favorite stories? And y'all know there's this certain point in the story where Tevye, the old guy in the story, he's been witnessing his own kids being in love and romance and all this, and all of a sudden he gets the idea and he says to his wife, he says, "Do you love me?" And you all know she sings it's a musical. She sings the deal back to him, you know, for however many years, 15 years, I've washed your clothes and cleaned your nose or whatever, however it goes. Done all this stuff for you. And he says, but at the end he says, "But do you love me?" And I think they kind of do the same thing back and forth. It really makes a lot of sense. You know, the Lord is so important that we understand this. The Lord saved us because he loves us and he wants to be loved back. And you're the same way. He made us the same way. We need to be loved. The Lord wants to be loved by us. See, sometimes we get it in our psyche that he's some distant, all-powerful, robotic something. But he actually, he's spirit, he's God of love, he is love. And he desires to be loved, and it's not selfish, and it's not self-serving. In fact, I think probably many of us, maybe all of us in this room, understand to some point that when you love the Lord, it becomes a two-way street. There's something for him and something for you. In fact, it's very similar to giving a testimony. When you give a testimony, when you share what God has done for you, it does something for everyone who hears it, and it does something for you. It's actually something metaphysical happens. When you share a real testimony, it does something for the people that hear it, it does something for you. And when we're loving the Lord, having a heart for him, it does something for him and something for us too. I think some of us have a slight misunderstanding or a misappropriation of philosophy about loving the Lord. We think that the Lord primarily wants us to do something for him. And I believe that the Lord primarily wants us to do something to him, not for him. And the to him is to love him. My wife likes it when I do things for her, but that isn't why she married me. And I like it when she does things for me. And boy, I'm going to really be happy if I get home from this trip and the house is clean. She knows how I like things when I get home. And boy, if I can just get home and not have to do anything and be able to rest, she will have done something for me. But the main deal is that I want her to love me and be my friend and express affection to me. That's what I want. I can hire a maid. I want her to love me. I like to hear at least once a day from my wife that she loves me. And I especially like it when I haven't done anything to deserve it. I'm telling you, it's wonderful, pleasant to my soul when my bride just says, "Sonny, I love you. I love you." And when I do it to her, that's neat. And I think that the reason it's neat is because when we do that to the Lord, not because he's done something for us, but it's because we love him and we express it to him, it's the same thing. It's a blessing to him. It's a sweetness to him. And I think, again, what we're really talking about is following the Lord, and that's really what the deal is. I want to take just a few minutes. We're talking about the blessings that the Lord gives us, the blessing of intimacy, and we're talking about really having an intimate relationship with the Lord. And by the way, this isn't those of you who know me already know this, but I have a lot of relationship with young people, but I don't have a teenager's message.
probably already figured that out. I've given the same exact message tonight that I'd give if I was at home in Memphis or speaking to adults. Well, you are adults, many of you. I mean, but just one message. It's loving the Lord, following the Lord. It's all the same stuff. It's not a watered down message because you're young. This is real stuff that the Lord has put on our hearts. So what I want to do is continue in this theme of our need for intimate relationship with the Lord. And I think I'd like to just paraphrase a little bit of the story of Rebecca. And I know some of you have heard me do that before. And I'm just going to touch on a few things from the story of Rebecca and how she was prepared to be a wife and how the Lord got her. And again, the first thing to understand about Isaac and Rebecca and about Rebecca being prepared is that she was made in God's image just like you. That's the first thing, is that here again, the Lord made her and made you in His image to love Him and to need love and to be able to express affection. And the second thing is that she was appointed for a purpose. And there again, she's no different than any of us. We've been appointed for a purpose too. You've been appointed for a purpose. And we need to know that. I hope this week, by the time this week's over, that we'll all understand that there's nobody here that hadn't been appointed for a divine purpose, more than we would even think. I really wonder if this little filter is keeping the bad stuff out of the water. I think it is. No. Another thing about Rebecca that stands out, if you're familiar with the story, is that Rebecca was prepared in secret place. In other words, how Rebecca became prepared to be the bride of Isaac, the Bible doesn't tell us in clear, scientific, clinical, intellectual way. It becomes obvious that she is already prepared. I think probably everybody in this room is somewhat familiar with the story, so I'm not going to go over all the details. I'm just going to paraphrase a few things, but I do want to start out by saying that it's very significant, as we were talking about the Holy Spirit, it's significant that the master of Abraham's house, the oldest servant in his house, was sent out. Now, let me ask a rhetorical question. Who's the servant of the Lord's house? In fact, it won't be rhetorical. Somebody can answer. Who is this fellow in this story? Who's he a picture and a type of? I know some people in this room know the answer to this. This is not a trick question. He's a picture of the Holy Spirit. Abraham, the servant who went out seeking a bride for Isaac, he's a picture of the Holy Spirit. And he goes to a place, he's seeking a bride for his master. Get it? The Holy Spirit is seeking a bride for the master, even now. And a bride has been and is being prepared right now as well. And when he came to the certain place, he came to the well. And of course, you all know Rebecca came out with her jar on her shoulder. It's a picture, not of physical strength. It's a picture of blessing, of supernatural strength. The Bible says she is a beautiful woman. She's beautiful. I don't think she's a big muscular gal. Well, maybe muscles were in then, and maybe that, but I don't think so. I don't think Samson was a big muscular guy either. People said, where does the strength come from? I think Rebecca was beautiful. She came out with her jar on her shoulder. It's a picture of having been prepared. It's a picture of spiritual strength. And I think you all are familiar with this. And the servant, you know, he asked her if he could have a drink. And she immediately says, not only will I get you a drink, I'll water your camels as well. I think camels drink a lot of water. I mean, this is a big project. She'd already been prepared to do it. She was willing to do it. And when he inquired about was there maybe a place to stay, this is interesting. She didn't say, we're sort of crowded at our house. It's not very big. Not only that. And she didn't start thinking, 10 camels. Man, I don't want this guy coming to my house bringing 10 camels. A lot more work for me. She said, we have plenty of room for you. Plenty of room and plenty of straw. Come on. Oh, and he knew that he's successful. He's finding the right one. He starts putting gifts on her. Put a ring in her nose. That was obviously a big deal back then. Really hot stuff. Had a gold ring in your nose. Put a ring in her nose. Bracelets on her. Got out gifts. They go back to her house. The relatives see all these gifts. Everybody's excited, right? By the way, this is the first thing that happens When the Holy Spirit gives gifts, and He does give gifts. He loves to give gifts. He loves to meet us. You know, we just respond a little bit, and He responds a lot. He loves to give gifts. And He gave gifts to Rebecca. He gave gifts to her family. And, of course, the initial response to the kindness of the Holy Spirit, usually, is that we make a vow and a testimony. You know, sort of our emotional response, usually, when the Lord begins to reward us and give us some gift. And I'm not necessarily talking about tangible outward gifts. He gives those. He blesses people. But He also gives spiritual gifts. That's the real issue. He blesses inwardly. And a lot of times our initial reaction to that is we make a vow. Lord, I'll follow You anywhere. I'll do whatever You want me to do, Lord. I'm embarrassed to tell you that I went to summer camp every summer for 10 years growing up. And the last night of camp, every year, I threw my pine cone in the fire and made a vow to the Lord how I was going to be a different person. And of course, this camp was always the last week right before school started. And, you know, for the first week or a few days of school, I'm trying to be the new Sonny, but after about 2 weeks, I'm a gangsta. You know, and it never worked. And, but that's our initial response a lot of times. We make a vow, Lord, I will follow You. I'll do. And that's not an evil thing. That's a natural response to the kindness of the Lord. Rebecca's vow was real. But her relatives, when they first got the gifts, they said, yeah, no problem. The girl can go with you and marry your man. Boy, looks like a marriage made in heaven. We're all for it. Great deal. But then they slept on it. And the next morning, the servant came and said, all right, our bus is leaving in an hour. Let's get the girl and go. And the relatives said, oh, how about we wait 10 days? And the servant said, no, I have to know now. My master is waiting. I have to know now. I'm glad I see some people reading their Bible to make sure I'm telling the truth. I want to encourage everybody to read this story. And I really do. I want to encourage everybody to read this and think about these things. Not just take it from me, but read it for yourself and ask the Lord to reveal to you what these things mean. And ask Him to reveal to you what He wants to say to you. And then her relatives said, they tried to negotiate with the servant. Said, let's keep her a while. And the servant said, no, my master's waiting. We have to go now. I tell you, sometimes, brothers and sisters, the Lord will bless us, and we all make a vow, and even our relatives make a vow. We're all going to follow the Lord. Only when the Holy Spirit comes and says, I want you to do something that's maybe a little different than what you would have thought of, or what your parents would have thought of, there starts to be a negotiation. Sometimes we try to negotiate with the Lord. Lord, we love You. We're just really glad that we want to be Your servants. We want to serve You. But let's not get carried away here. We don't want to move to India or anything. I said that on purpose. We have people and I saw you. But we have some the brethren from Memphis have it on their heart are going to go to India and are going to serve the Lord in India. And I don't want to get off the subject, but I happen to know that a person that changed my life that I met by divine accident 35 years ago walking through a door was a Caucasian fellow who lived his whole life in India. And he lived his entire life in India. His father had been a Christian Missionary Alliance missionary in India for 45 years. And this man, the only time that he didn't live in India is he came to Canada to go to, I believe it's Taylor University, for 4 years, and his roommate in college was a man named George Burr, and together they established an organization called Operation Mobilization. And I met them right before I got married, and by a divine act, we literally bumped into each other. I was going to a Bible college. He just happened to be in the area, came to visit the Bible college just for something to do, and we walked into each other, wound up having a cup of tea together, talking. I got married, and my wife and I spent our summer, our honeymoon, in Europe, witnessing with the most militant evangelical organization on the face of the earth. I mean, it was a real experience. And he told me one time that many people, even when they go to India to the mission work, that they always go to certain cities where it's a little bit cooler and where there's a lot more nice stuff, and that that you cannot find a missionary in the center of Bihar State, where it's 110 degrees every day and where there's people die at night right on the roadside, where it's a difficult place to live. So I've always had that lodged in my mind, that the ultimate thing that the Lord might ask me to do someday would be to move to India into a difficult place. But you know, this is the thing. Sometimes the Lord does lay on our hearts to go and do something. And we've already made a vow to Him that we will, and that we'll follow Him anywhere. But then when He asks us to do something, sometimes we ourselves find out that we're not as committed as we thought we were. And here's an interesting thing. Pay attention to this. Sometimes your loved ones will try to negotiate the deal for you. And ultimately what happened in this story is that's what happened. And finally the servant said, we have to make a decision. And the relative said, okay, let's ask Rebecca. Here she comes, let's ask her. And they said, will you go? Will you go with this man? She's leaving her home. She's going away to a place she's never been before. And she's going to marry somebody she's never met. She's leaving her family. She might be leaving her culture. She's leaving everything that's known, and she's going to a place that's unknown. And she says, I will go. And she went. And as you know, she met Isaac. They loved each other immediately. And the last scripture in the matter is, it says Isaac was comforted after the death of his mother. The Lord had prepared them for each other. The Lord had prepared Rebekah to be the bride for Isaac. And this is not basically a story about a human marriage. Although there was a human marriage involved, a fruitful human marriage, this is not basically a story about human marriage. It's primarily a story about a young girl saying yes to the Holy Spirit. The real issue in following the Lord is saying yes to the Holy Spirit. Right now and in the coming days and in the coming weeks, the Lord will be asking you questions, touching your heart about certain matters. He surely will. And it'll be a very personal thing. In some cases, it'll be a secret thing that nobody else will know about, and the Lord will ask for something that no one knows about. It's just between you and Him. And you know what? The Lord may ask for something that's not bad. That's really difficult. When the Lord asks for something that's not an evil thing or not a bad thing, but He asks you to give Him something. Something in your life. He says, give this to me. And by the way, the Holy Spirit's like a dove. He's a gentle man, like a dove is gentle. He doesn't scream and demand. He asks quietly, give me this. That still small voice asks for something, and it really becomes a test. Do we trust Him? Do we really trust Him? Sometimes the problem with a lot of us in our preparation process is that we're what I call Christian atheists. We trust the Lord up to a point, especially when He's given gifts and blessing. We really trust Him then. But when He asks for something that's difficult, then we start maybe not believing, not trusting. And you know what it really is? Sometimes we doubt, does He really have my best interests at heart? Does He really love me? Does He really care about me? Is he trying to trick me? Or does He really care about me? And does He really know what's best for me? This is a big deal. Do we really trust that He knows what's best? Are we going to trust Him or lean to our own understanding? And I think that for many of us, if the Lord tarries in seasons and years to come, and I don't know how much time is left for any of us as an individual or even for life as we know it, I don't know. No one can know unless the Holy Spirit reveals it to him personally. But I believe that in the seasons to come, the Lord is going to put into your life this question, do you love me more than anything else? And I also thought of this simple matter that becomes so practical. Anyone who loves mother or father, a brother or sister, a wife or his own life more than me cannot be my disciple. Rebecca didn't rebel against her relatives. She didn't say, phooey on your wishes, I'm not going to do what you want me to do. That wasn't her heart at all. So I don't want anybody to misunderstand that. Her heart was simply to say yes to the Holy Spirit in what He asked. It was a matter of faith and a matter of trust, and it bore fruit. And really, I guess I'm not much on challenges, but if I had a challenge, it would be to ask us to search, to ask the Lord to search us and to say, Lord, do you have first place in every room in my heart? Is there any place, you know, Rebecca let the man of God and the camels into her house? She said, come on in. And so the issue for us is, are we really inviting the Lord in? Are we really inviting the Holy Spirit into every room, every secret place? Or is there something off limits? Probably in many of us. There's some area of our life that we're holding back from the Lord. Simply because it's not that we're evil or bad. Nobody needs to beat himself up over this. It's you know what it really is? It's because we haven't understood how much He loves us and how much good intentions He has for us. So my challenge would be, don't lean to your own understanding, but trust Him, because He's trustworthy, and entrust yourself to Him and everything that He's asking. And don't lean to your own understanding. Gain His understanding, because He's faithful and good. I have a friend who's gone to be with the Lord, who demonstrated to me for many years. He was a close friend. He, in his practical and personal life, he showed me over and over again that he was willing to trust the Lord with everything. And he got sick one day. And the day that he found out that he had a terminal disease, he sat down with me and he said, Sonny, no one will ever follow the Lord and regret it. No one will go into the presence of the Lord and wish they were back with their loved ones. He knew that. And he said, this is much harder for you than it is for me. No one will regret going into the presence of the Lord. No one will regret following Him and giving Him everything. I know it's true. We ask the Lord to reveal that to you this week, even tonight before you go to bed. And in the morning, remember to wake up, and if you can, and tell the Lord, Lord, I love you. I love you. I trust you. I want to love you more. Praise His name. Lord, I do thank you for your loving kindness to us, all your blessings to us. Lord, I do ask you to just cover the weakness of your servant and cause this word to settle into our hearts. Lord, thank you for speaking to us, for protecting the time, for giving us this time and giving us one another. Lord, we do love you. We do want to love you more. Lord, we know that you love us, that you care for us. Lord, would you give it to many in this room to begin to follow you in a new way, in a deeper way, in a more real way. Lord, even as we go our way this evening, will you minister to us and teach us how to minister to you and to serve you, bless you, have affection for you, Lord, even in the secret place. Lord, we do pray all these things with much, much thanksgiving on our hearts, Lord, in your precious name. Amen.